Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. We're so excited to be starting 2021 with you, and I think you're going to find this to be a very special episode. I know everybody right now is talking about resolutions, and what we're going to talk about more today is intentions, things that worked for us really well in 2020, things that didn't, and what we're trying to invite into our life in 2021 using, you know, health habits and mindset tricks and things like that. Normally with resolutions, there is a bit of an aggression and almost like self-hate about it. It's like, oh, I need to lose weight. I need to start eating healthier. And they can be about deprivation and just not enjoying yourself. But we're really trying to focus on ways to nurture and build ourselves up for 2021. So hi, Toni. So great to chat with you again. We had a few weeks off. I'm so glad we're together.
I know. It's so great to be back, Lisa. I always love talking to you. And even though, again, it was a lovely time over the holidays to rest and be with family, I did miss talking to you and talking to everyone out there. So
definitely. So we're back in full swing. And I wanted to start with your best of 2020, Toni. What worked really well for you in 2020?
For sure. And, you know, I think it's important to really start with, you know, what really worked and really kind of pat ourselves on the back and acknowledge like what we actually accomplished. Because even, you know, before we started recording, Lisa, we kind of talked about, you know, do you start with the best or do you start with the worst? And it's so often, you know, we have this negativity bias where we automatically go into, you know, what we could have done better instead of really looking at, okay, what really worked? What did we accomplish? So I wanted to really kind of focus on that before we talk about some of the challenges that maybe we had. Although some of the best of the year, in a sense, was connected to some of the challenges, of course, of the year. How could we not, you know, mention some of the challenges around the pandemic? But especially, you know, once the pandemic started, I really did take the opportunity to look at some of my health practices and what I could be doing better. So I really took on my hydration because I found that really impacted my energy. So I have now a really fantastic, almost mindless habit of, fixing some lemon water first thing in the morning before eating and even kind of pushing off the time that I eat in the morning to maybe again get a little bit more fasting time again for the benefits that we've talked about before on podcasts. I really took on getting outside and walking outside daily. And a couple of other things that really worked for me this year, maybe also got into, again, a little connection of what didn't necessarily work as well. I did find, especially earlier in the year, definitely had some challenges with not only mental health and again, kind of the changes around the pandemic, changes around, losing a good friend. And so, you know, that's where it really did take some action on my part to switch things. So, with my mental health, I really took on connection with my family. I took on a new regime in terms of using some nutrients and herbs, support from other practitioners, my own naturopathic doctor. And so, you know, things got worse, you know, before they got better and before, you know, I really found some benefits and, so thankful for you know, my work at the Grassroots Naturopathic Clinic here in Calgary. So thankful for this podcast and connecting with all of you and connecting with you, Lisa, and being able to, again, share with everyone out there. And also really found a huge benefit in giving back and doing the hypnobirthing teaching that I had been doing for expecting parents, and so switched that to online and have really enjoyed continuing to do that. So another, you know, highlight for me was you know, something that actually got worse before it got better, and that was hot flashes. It's definitely something that we've talked about before, and maybe in the show notes we'll even link to our hot flash episode. I really found that things were really not great for hot flashes. Took on some extra practices with some different nutrients and herbs, and actually really got to test out how much better my hot flashes had been over the holidays. I have to admit, you know, before my hot flashes were not great after alcohol intake. And I have to admit that there was some alcohol intake over the holidays and found that, you know, I did not suffer. So, you know, that worked. That was really fantastic. And also, again, sugar. You know, we've definitely talked about sugar intake in a number of different episodes. And you know, before holidays, I went off. I definitely was back on over the holidays. So, you know, hint, that may be something I'm taking on for 2021 too. How nice. About you, Lisa?
That's awesome, Tony. So many great things to celebrate. I mm-hmm. invite all our listeners to do that as well, to look back and see what were those health practices or lifestyle practices that really nurtured you. I love that you built that, you know, community's connection with other people. And I agree, Tony, the podcast is a great source of inspiration for me. It energizes me every week, and we get to learn and talk to really cool people and each other weekly. So that's been definitely a light of 2020. But thanks for sharing all of those. Yay. Oh, let's just pause and celebrate that for a moment.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then I'll move into mine. Yeah. So like you, Tony, when the pandemic started, definitely anxiety, mental health was challenged like most people. And it started to reflect in my sleep. And by summer, it was like, okay, something has to change. I was getting up super early, like 3:30 or 4 in the morning, and I wouldn't be able to fall back asleep. So I'd just get up and do work, which sometimes I felt like I needed to because Stuart was off preschool for part of the year, and I didn't feel like I had as much time, and we were juggling our work schedules. But I thought, okay, enough is enough. It was starting to take its toll and adding to my anxiety, and I was getting low energy and needing more naps in the day. So I heard about CBTI, cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. And I talked about this in some previous episodes, but you can think of it kind of like sleep training for adults, and psychologists are trained in it. It's a special technique, a way that you analyze your sleep patterns, analyze your thought patterns and beliefs about sleep and how that impacts you if you don't sleep well. And then it's coming up with a new schedule to make sure you build up enough sleep debt so you're totally tired, that your sleep quality is more likely going to be better. You do restrict your time or hours in bed. So in the beginning, it's really challenging because I was staying up a lot later than I was used to. I had to get up a little bit earlier. But the idea was to retrain so that when I was in bed, I was actually sleeping and not tossing and turning. You know, you're recommended to get out of bed if you wake up in the middle of the night and do something relaxing and come back to bed when you're sleepy. And then slowly you start to add back hours or minutes or time to lengthen your sleep cycle again with you, hopefully sleeping most of the time. So yeah, it was several weeks, a month or more of feeling pretty tired and thinking, okay, is this working for me? But it actually was a huge shift. So I was able to fall asleep really quickly, stay asleep, and wake up at pretty much the same time every day. I have to admit, over the holidays and leading up to the holidays, I haven't been as regular with my sleep hours. I've been napping a little bit in the day. So I know I need to get back into some sort of sleep training regime. But that's been ground changing, or life changing, I should say, for me when I've done so many things for sleep. That's been, you know, the best thing that's worked for me so far. So that's made a difference. I think being consistent with my gratitude and journaling practice every morning, even if Stuart is home. So when he was home from preschool, I kind of gave that up because I just thought, oh, I already have so much on my plate, but it really sets the tone for my day. So I take about 10, 15 minutes in the morning where I do either like a chanting meditation or a guided meditation. And then I do a few minutes of gratitude journaling and then filling out in my bullet journal, you know, things that I want to accomplish, just kind of brain dumping everything out of my head. So that's really helped too, because like so many other moms out there, busy moms, we're all, you know, the brain is racing. We have the monkey mind, and that can really impact our energy, our sleep, and our mood too. So that was a best of 2020 for me. And then I did also incorporate intermittent fasting in July. I'd wanted to try it for a while, but it wasn't something I felt like I was ready for. But I knew I needed to shift something. Like I was just starting to eat because I was bored and eat because, you know, as a reward. So I thought, okay, well, for me, I'm kind of like an all or nothing person. So I'm like, if I have this time where I can eat in this window of time, I'm really not going to overindulge or eat for the wrong reason. I'm actually going to eat because I'm hungry. So that really helped to boost my energy level, surprisingly. And I didn't feel like I needed a nap in the afternoon. I didn't have that afternoon crash. So that really helped for my energy and focus and concentration. And then like so many people working at home, you know, you're sitting most of the day, you might be in a basement or you might not be near natural light. So another best of 2020 for me is actually we set up a stand-up desk near a window in one of the upstairs bedrooms and I get to see natural light. I'll use a light box if I am working in the office in the basement, but that's really helped to boost my energy and mood as well. And then have less physical pain because man, you can get really sore sitting all day. Like normally when I have, you know, patients come see me in person, I'm up and down, I'm moving, you know, I'm still seeing several patients in person if needed for acupuncture and physical exam, but most are virtual. So that can really take its toll on your body when you're sitting that whole time. And then let me see anything else. I think, oh yeah, another major one, I'll end with this one, was actually taking a break from alcohol. I started the Monday of Thanksgiving. I'm not a huge drinker. I used to be a bigger drinker in my younger days. I wouldn't say, you know, every day or anything, but I would have higher volumes than I do now. But at the beginning of the pandemic, the amount was starting to creep up. And the next day I'd feel a little off. I'd be a little cranky, tired. I just wasn't showing up the way I wanted to with Stuart and with Pete. And it was mild. Like, I don't think they were like, oh my gosh, you're this monster or anything, but it just took every bit of my energy to just be, you know, calm and relaxed and feel good. So I thought, okay, Monday of the Thanksgiving weekend, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a break for a while and just go with the flow. I said, okay, I'm going to start with 7 days. Normally I would just have drinks on the weekend, but you know, giving up a weekend of having a few drinks a night seems daunting, but I did it. And then I felt amazing. And I've done this in the past too. And I typically go longer. So I usually go, you know, 2 weeks and then I went 3 weeks. And then it was about, I think it was over 40 days. And then I had one beer, a gluten-free beer. Yes, I am a naturopathic doctor. and then I was like, okay, that's enough. And then I went a few weeks without it. I did have more over the holidays, but I'm definitely more cognizant of why I'm having it and recognizing how good I feel the next day when I don't have it or I really limit it. So it just put my relationship, if you will, with alcohol in check. So, and moving forward, I'm still having occasional gluten-free beers, glasses of wine, but it's definitely lower than it has been in previous years. So that's the best of 2020 for me.
That's awesome, Lisa. And I really love how, especially something like the alcohol intake, it's not just, okay, I'm going to stop, but you actually really kind of looked at, you know, okay, you know, how you were feeling and what the impact was before, you know, instead of just saying, okay, this is bad, I'm going to cut it out. Mm-hmm. But really taking that time to kind of look at, you know, what was actually going on and you know, switching that kind of mindless piece of it into something, again, really more intentional.
Definitely. Because yeah, it could be such a part of a routine, right? It's the weekend. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to have a drink. It's happy hour. I'm going to have a Zoom call. So I'm going to have a drink. So I think it's just questioning, do I really want this? Is this serving mm-hmm. me or is it not?
And that's such a great question to ask, you know, is something serving me? And, you know, and that's where, you know, looking at some of the challenges, you know, that we've had, you know, definitely one of mine has, you know, been kind of my on and off relationship with sugar. And again, that intentionality and that mindlessness between it, you know, especially, you know, something that I found, you know, with this year is that idea of, okay, Frankie's going to bed. This is my time to kind of reward myself or have a treat. So that's definitely something where I noticed that really came in to, again, my routine more and more, and definitely something that I you know, needed to look at the end of the year. You know, some of the other challenges that I found that, you know, things that weren't really working for me, you know, like you mentioned, sleep has definitely been on and off. So that of course, with the pandemic, that definitely, you know, had an impact on things. And also, you know, just having Frankie is not the best sleeper in the world has had an impact too. So I've definitely found a challenge between sleep and also the idea of having a morning routine and kind of starting off the day on the best foot, whether it's with, you know, meditation or quiet, or again, a gratitude practice, or again, some of those things, activity, you know, that's where, you know, that was definitely a struggle for me. And again, maybe, you know, wasn't the greatest for some of the mental health struggles earlier in the year too. Also, you know, something that definitely does not help with mental health and that I found kind of, again, getting into a mindless activity was, you know, being on the phone, on my phone, being online, having some mindless screen time. That definitely wasn't, you know, my best of the past year. So I guess, you know, something that I'm definitely looking at being more intentional for this year. So, you know, some of those things that maybe didn't necessarily work as well. How about for you, Lisa?
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I think those are common challenges a lot of us have, and, you know, regular day to day, and then during a pandemic, it can be heightened. So I think a lot of listeners and myself can relate. So thank you for sharing. And then for me, I think, yeah, the challenges of 2020. Well, I think trying to do too much on my own. So with the pandemic, and, you know, I was forced to work virtually for a while. So I really had to, you know, incorporate so many new things into my practice. I was old school paper file, so I had to get electronic medical records. I needed to figure out how to use, you know, telemedicine, Zoom health, all of that. And I took on all that on my own, and I did it. But I think there was a time where I could have reached out for help. So actually, I'm excited now because I have a virtual assistant named Stephanie. So she started yesterday. So that's going to make my life so much easier because, yeah, I find I'm online so much doing all these small tasks. It's taking away from, you know, the bigger projects, the things that fill me up more. So I'm glad someone can help me who's really good at those admin tasks to take that off my plate. So I really wish I asked for help sooner. I think my sleep would have been better, you know, mood and energy. But it is what it is. And it's never too late to ask for help, right?
Oh, for sure.
And then Pete and I, my partner, we did really well setting aside, you know, time for just the two of us. We have, you know, Stuart's now going to be 4 at the end of February. So when he's awake and with us, it's full on, right? It is about him. And I know there's ways we can make it so we have some time to sit and chat, the two of us, or maybe play a game while he's awake, but it's challenging at that age. But in the beginning of the pandemic, we were really setting aside time to, like, check in and, you know, play a game, listen to some music together. But as time went on and we got more and more tired and overwhelmed, you know, we still spend time together, but it's like, okay, let's watch a show together. You know, we still check in and say loving words, but we're not setting aside that extra time. So that's something I want to work on in 2021, because I think it's just so important to strengthen that bond. We can't go out for date nights like we used to. We used to go to concerts, but we can make it happen at home. So on New Year's, we actually watched an online streaming concert, which was really fun. So that was starting to get back into sharing passions other than TV and movies. So that was one of the challenges. And then I have to admit, I got addicted to Smart Sweets. So I know I've talked about this before, and I'm not a big sugar person, but man, Smart Sweets, well, and dark chocolate I love too. I found a way to get it wholesale, which was a bad idea, but at the time it seemed brilliant. So I get Smart Sweets wholesale, and Stuart and I like blew through several, you know, boxes of them. He only gets a small amount, like a few every day, but I won't admit how many I was eating, but they're all gone now. So I'm not going to order any more, but it just goes to show even those things that are, you know, naturally sweetened, if you will, in quotations, you can't see me right now, they can still be addictive. So I'm not ordering any of those anytime soon. So I'm going to enjoy more, you know, berries and things like that if I'm craving something sweet.
Oh, I know how that happens. And even if it's, again, not sweetened by sugar, but again, it's that sweet taste that, again, we can kind of get into and crave and, you know, things kind of take over. So I've definitely been there, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm more of a salty person, but at a sweet thing, Smart Sweets, I just can't control myself. So
oh, I don't blame you at all. So let's look at some of the things that we're going to take on for the new year for 2021.
I'd love to hear yours, Tony. Yeah. What's your intentions? What are you planning on incorporating?
Definitely. Well, I know that, you know, physically and physical health, I've found that something that's really been lacking is a focus on really my pelvic health. And so I'm really, my intention and what I'm really taking on is getting back into a daily practice for my pelvic health, which will also, my plan is to have that really being incorporated into, you know, looking at, again, kind of routine and whether that will work for creating a new practice in the morning, or again, whether that will even kind of get connected to an evening kind of routine to kind of wind down before bed. So, you know, I'll be playing around with that and I'll probably kind of let you know how that's going later on in the year. My plan is also, again, to kind of switch up a daily practice of meditation and really start to incorporate some of the hypnomothering practices that I'm training in as well. Which again will also let allow me to switch off screens earlier, get a better sleep. Definitely inspired by kind of what you were sharing with taking on some of your sleep practices and you know the CBT for insomnia, Lisa. So really looking at exercising my mind a little bit more and winding down at the end of the day. And reading books, which, I've already started on reading a new not a nonfiction book, an actual fiction book. So I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. And I really am wanting to be more intentional actually about like what I'm doing with my time, scheduling in not only kind of the things that I'm committed to doing and, you know, work and that kind of thing, but also scheduling in fun. And like you said, scheduling in date nights and time to spend just with me and Davin. So I'm really looking at kind of taking on, you know, my time more intentionally and really looking at, some systems to really support that too.
Love those. It's a whole mind-body relationship approach. And I know our time can just get taken away if we don't intentionally plan it. So that's a good reminder for me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Lisa? What are you looking at taking on for the new year?
Well, I used to be a big reader and I just don't set aside the time for pleasure reading as much as I used to. I'll read on vacations, mm-hmm. but not on a daily, I don't have a daily practice for it. So I was listening to one of Gretchen Rubin's podcasts, and she has a challenge called Read 21 in 21. So read 20 minutes a day in 2021. And I was like, this is perfect for me. So you just pick 21 minutes, ideally all at the same time. It doesn't have to be, and read something for enjoyment, not for work or not for knowledge or education, if possible. You still can if you want. That could be your enjoyment if that's not part of your work. But I'm reading, you know, things for enjoyment just to relax my brain and have that down and quiet time. and then I can read through some more books than I normally do. So I'm really excited. I started on January 1st and I might read for 20, 30 minutes after we put Stuart down instead of reading TV. On the holidays, I would read kind of midday to take a nice break and have some quiet time. And Stuart's now asking for some quiet time on his own too. So I think that's working out, is seeing us do that and the benefits of it. So I'm really excited about that initiative, because my intentions, I don't want to say resolutions, I wanted to invite more, you know, joy into my life and more time for rest and play, because there was a lot of pushing in 2020 for me. So that was a great kind of intention in alignment with that goal. And then though I am doing something, I guess it's kind of pushing myself, but I do like ending my shower in cold water. So I've done that for a while, but it's probably only been 30 seconds, maybe to 60 seconds at last. And then I'm out of the shower because I know the benefits of cold water. But I've been, you know, listening to Wim Hof, the Iceman, on different podcasts and hearing people talk about doing longer cold showers daily. So I really thought, okay, I'm going to try 3 minutes of cold showers daily. So I just end my shower in 3 minutes. I set up my phone outside the shower and I just kind of peek out and then start the cold blast at the end and really like try to breathe through it and turn from front to back, from front to back and breathe, and then keep peeking out to see when the 3 minutes is over. But actually the last few days I've gone longer than 3 minutes and didn't realize. And you feel, yeah, you're chilled a bit when you get out, but then your body warms itself up. You actually, I feel really alert and energized, because we are learning. We do benefit from stressing our body in some ways, right? And it's not for everybody. They do say people, you know, with heart conditions, maybe their immune system's really weak, this might not be the best thing. Of course, check with your healthcare practitioner. But there are benefits in terms of boosting your energy, your mood. It can help release endorphins and neurotransmitters, for example. It may strengthen your immunity. So I, you know, it's fun. I was going to do the polar bear dip, but then I was like, nah, I'll just do the cold showers. So that's what I'm doing every day. And then just like you mentioned, and Tony, just scheduling in more time for fun and play, and hopefully having that virtual assistant, having better systems in place and time management in place. I'll actually schedule in, we need to do that, right? Schedule in our fun and play time and date nights, or else it just doesn't happen. So that's those are my intentions for 2021, to invite in some self-compassion and enjoyment.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you're taking on that hydrotherapy with that cold water, Lisa. That is
inspiring. You going to join me, Tony?
Oh, I might. I might. Great. As you're talking, I'm like, how can I slowly increase the amount of time that I'm spending kind of ending cold in my shower? Because again, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So right. Maybe that can be a nice little challenge for, you know, January, February, is to do that. So you got the wheels turning in my brain here, Lisa.
Just don't be cursing me when you're you have that cold blast on you.
Damn, I can definitely see myself doing that, but maybe now I won't.
But then after you're out of the shower, you'll be like, thanks, Lisa.
Yes, you can get, you know, the curses and, you know, the thanks as well, the gratitude.
And yeah, I wanted to ask you, Tony, because I know we talked about coming up with like a word or a phrase for 2021. And I realized I said yours earlier because you planted the seed, because it's such a good word. So do you want to share people your, you know, one word intention to invite more of into 2021?
For sure, because definitely I tend to kind of avoid just picking one word for, you know, a whole year. I feel so much pressure when sometimes asked that. But as, you know, as we've been talking, you know, especially looking at, okay, really, what do I want to invite into this year? And what do I want my life to be about for this year? The word that really popped into my mind was nurture. Not only for myself, and I think again that's a big piece where I want to really put myself at the top of the list in terms of nurturing, that idea of again filling that cup so it can overflow to other people, so that again that nurturing cup can overflow to Frankie and my partner and the rest of my family. So that nurturing can overflow to my patients And so that I can have that nurturing overflow to, again, the expecting moms in my hypnobirthing classes and their partners, and even nurturing and supporting postpartum moms more with hypnomothering as well. So again, that idea of nurture just is really, you know, something that I can really get behind and really, you know, take a stand for in my life and in the lives of people around me too. So yeah.
Such a great word. And I think it's so important right now. And I love the analogy of like helping our cup to overflow. So we do have it to give to other people, because I think a lot of us are just so depleted and trying to get through the day that it's like, oh, my nurturing is just going to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And really coming from a place of nurturing, yeah, not to wear yourself out or deplete yourself, but really refueling and nourishing our bodies, our minds, and again, everyone else around us as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Lisa? What is your word for 2021?
Yeah, I didn't think about it too hard. So I just went with what came to me. And what came to me is like wonder and light. And I think, you know, since becoming a mom, and I think like a lot of parents, when you do have a kid, you start to see the world through their eyes. And they have so much wonder, curiosity, amazement. So I really just want to approach every day with that, even daily tasks, right? But, you know, it's easy when you're out walking to look at the trees covered in snow, or to really take the opportunity to look up at the sky and appreciate that, but just looking at opportunity in things and not seeing just the roadblocks, but seeing them as opportunities or good challenges as well. So just shifting the lens that I'm using when I see things as they present themselves to me.
Oh, I love that idea of really seeing things newly, because again, so often we can get kind of resigned and can take things for granted so easily. So I love that, Lisa.
Oh, thanks. I hope I can bring that into the daily chores and the cooking. I'll let you know how it goes, but that's my intention.
Oh, for sure.
Wow, I get to clean the dishes again. Amazing. And Stuart loves cleaning the dishes. So I'll just have to pretend I'm him.
Exactly, right? Oh, and that's something that Frankie's been loving to do as well, clean up. So it's like, okay, great. Yeah, maybe I should look at this differently.
This is fun.
Oh, totally. All right. Have we covered everything we want to cover for 2021?
Yeah, pretty much. There was one other exercise you could think about doing at home. So this is, again, from Gretchen Rubin. You can tell I've been listening to her podcasts. I listened to a lot of them over the holidays because they were just so fun and light and inspiring. But she has the recommendation of a 21 for 2021 list. So just writing a list of 21 things you might want to happen, to do, just so you have some intention over the year. It might be like walking 20 minutes every day. It might be connecting with a friend every week. So whatever you want that to be, or doing online yoga classes. So just coming up with a list. And then that'll probably, if you put that somewhere where you can see it regularly, then you're more likely to invite those things or do those things as well. So that's just something to think about. I haven't done it yet, but I'm planning on doing it.
I love that idea for sure. I'll take that on too.
Great. And now I want to hear, I know you've been doing a great job, so I would love to hear your super mom moment, Tony.
Oh, I would love to share my super mom moment. Although I'm not sure how many people will actually kind of relate to this, but I was really proud of myself after the holidays. We had gone to visit my mom. My mom lives on her own, and you know, Frankie and I are her two cohort people that we can go and visit her. So I had the pleasure of doing that, and we were heading back on the road between Lethbridge and Calgary. It's a couple of hours. And, you know, I don't know what other parents necessarily do with their kids when they're potty training and when they're going for road trips. It isn't something that I've necessarily kind of asked for help with, but I thought, okay, well, you know, we'll just, you know, put her in a pull-up just in case. And especially right now, I don't necessarily want to be stopping at, you know, bathrooms and garage at gas stations, or, you know, even, you know, kind of, you know, fast food places where I would typically do kind of a little bio break on a road trip. But because we had been traveling, we took her little potty seat with us. And so it was in the car, and we were about halfway home where she said, "I have to pee." And I said, "Okay, well, you have your pull up on, so, you know, you can go ahead and pee." And she said, no, I have to pee. And so I said, "Okay." I checked with her, you know, do you want to just pee in your pull up, or do you want to, you know, go out outside? And she said, "Oh, go outside." So it's like, okay, I found, a roadside pull off to pull off, and thought, okay, you know, how am I going to do this? Am I just going to put this potty seat on the ground and have her go pee? But actually, because we had so much snow in southern Alberta, and it had been, it had been plowed, so there was a little ledge of snow at this roadside pull-off. So I was just able to work it. So I put the potty seat on the snow. It was just, you know, high enough where she could sit, do a pee. And you know, I thought it was brilliant. I was so proud of myself. I didn't realize that then she was going to start to poo, but I managed to take care of that. I had the wipes, I had everything. And actually, that kind of cleanup on the snow was really easy. So I really felt Canadian with the fact that I set her up to pee on the side of the road on some snow. We got it taken care of, and then we got back in the car and just went along our way. I was super proud of myself. I thought that was totally a super mom moment and a super like Canadian mom moment.
That definitely is. I didn't see the poo coming, but
you didn't either.
Made the most, yeah, of the snow, and that was maybe a little bit of cold therapy there. And she was comfortable doing it. That's amazing. So you're doing a great job. You really improvised and went with the flow and had, you know, a little bit of a cleanup, but didn't make a big deal out of it.
For sure. You know, that there's a reason why there's, you know, garbage cans on the side of those roadside pull-ups too.
Doggy's gotta go, right?
I figured, hey, it was either going to be in the pull-up or in a diaper or, you know, in just a bunch of wipes and stuff. So yeah.
And way to go, Frankie, for just saying, no, I'm like, I don't want to go in my pull-up. So she was ready to do that.
Yeah, she definitely was. So, hey, yeah, that's my contribution. Now, Lisa, I know, especially, you know, the past year, you've been doing an amazing job as a mom. But do you have a mess up to share with us this week?
I do. I guess it's twofold. So I don't know how we started watching the Beastie Boys videos with Stuart. And, you know, I'm a fan, but I actually never owned any of their albums. But I enjoyed their songs and knew a lot of them. Some of my friends were diehard fans. But we've been watching a couple of their videos, like Sabotage, Fight for Your Right, Intergalactic, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, and Stuart is obsessed. And it's probably, I don't think it's a good thing, because there's not very good depictions all the time of women, and then there's lots of, you know, people drinking and partying, but he gets so into it. I should show a video on social media. He's like rocking out, he likes learning all the words, which maybe isn't so good either. But he loves it. So we probably should stop it soon, but I just can't yet. So that's a bit of a mess up. So when they start watching something, maybe that's not great, that they're really enjoying. But then the other day he dropped a, "What the F?" I won't say the full word. And I was like, "What? Where is that coming from?" And I'm that person who reacts. I don't know if you guys have seen the episode Modern Family where Claire, she just laughs at the inappropriate things. Like if someone hurts themselves or if they do something wrong, if her kids do something wrong, she just laughs. That's me. So, and I think a lot of people do that. Like, you know, it's not malicious, but that's just my initial reaction. So I was really trying not to laugh when he said, "What the F?" And Pete and I were like trying to be serious and say, "No, that's not acceptable." And we did pull that off because he actually got upset because he realized it wasn't the right thing to say. But I'm wondering where he got that from. Was that from me? Was that from one of the videos? So I got to start censoring things a little bit more. So that's my mama mess up.
Oh, Lisa, but that must be so cute watching him get into the Beastie Boys videos. Oh.
That's been becoming his alone time now. He doesn't want us to dance or sing. He just wants to do it all by himself. So.
That's hilarious. I love that. Oh, well, I can totally understand that mess up, Lisa.
It is what it is. Yeah, and they can pick up swear words anywhere, right? So hopefully it wasn't for me. I gotta check my language. But anyway, but Fingers Tony, crossed. I want to hear about what's your mama must have? What's been getting you through these times?
Oh my goodness. So there may be some of you out there who totally understand what I'm going to rave about right now, but I just spent a couple of days watching Bridgerton on Netflix. I am a huge Pride and Prejudice fan. I may own a couple of different versions of Pride and Prejudice. So, you know, something like Bridgerton, which is kind of a period piece with a bit of a spin on it, a bit of a modern twist, but not. It's still, you know, set in the 19th century. It was such a lovely escape and so filled with intrigue and scandal and, you know, looking at social norms and class structure and expectations of men and women and marriage and, you know, the sexual education of women, which back in the day was nothing. It was really great to watch, really fun. And while, you know, something like Pride and Prejudice is, you know, really interesting in terms of kind of looking at relationships, but there's not a lot of contact physically between men and women. This is like, Bridgerton is basically like Pride and Prejudice with sex and, you know, a bit of a post-racial spin on it. Very fun. You know, it's I think it's produced by Shonda Rhimes, who's, you know, the woman who created Grey's Anatomy and some other really great shows. So it has just been a lovely escape and has really kind of like energized me and inspired me to get back into reading. Definitely inspired me to get back into using my public library, because I, especially before the pandemic, I would get books, put them on hold, especially before Frankie too. But so now, especially because Bridgerton is based on a series of novels, I've gone back to the public library, put those books on hold. And while I look forward to, you know, being able to read them after all of the other women in line ahead of me, I am actually going to reread Pride and Prejudice, which I managed to find on the bookshelf just last night because Frankie has been rearranging our books. So it did take me something to find that and I got back into it. So again, my reading before bed. You know, it all works into one. So, you know, that's definitely been my mama must have. So highly recommend it. And even, you know, highly recommend digging into the books based on it too.
Amazing. I'll have to check it out. I'm late to the game. We did cancel Netflix, but I think we need to get it back. So
you might need to get it back for this one.
I'm
Lisa.
Sold. Yeah. So you'll be doing the cold showers. I'll be watching Bridgerton. I think I got the better end of the stick. Well, I'm doing the cold showers too, but
you might need the cold showers. It is pretty steamy.
Love it.
How about you, Lisa?
Yeah. So mine, I guess, isn't as, you know, pop culture related, but it is something that helped me just shift my mindset when I needed it or looked at, you know, helped me to relax and unwind without necessarily having, you know, a glass of beer or wine. But I'm really enjoying the Insight Timer app. They do actually have live events. So every day you go into the app and it tells you who's coming up in terms of doing a guided meditation live, a yoga class live. They might do a breathing exercise live. So that's really great. It's just a reset at night or in the day. Some of them are half an hour, some of them are longer, but I think there's something different to doing it live with a group of people. And you can actually like comment when the person is doing it live and they'll mention your name and kind of respond to your comments. So you just get a little bit of that engagement. And then there's that collective experience of having the intention of breathing or meditating together. So I've really enjoyed that. And there is the free version of the Insight Timer app. They have tons of great meditations too for different times of the day. So definitely check that out.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that tip.
So Tony, before we wrap up, I know you work some workshops, things that listeners could benefit from. So would you mind sharing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, like I mentioned, I've been doing online hypnobirthing teaching. I do have another group class starting in a couple of weeks. So again, we'll post in the show notes the website where you can go and check out that, especially, you know, the classes this month and even the classes further in the spring as well. How about you, Lisa?
I love that. Yes. Yeah, so I'm excited to invite people to my free masterclass next week. So it's on Thursday, January the 14th at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for an hour. And it's called Work Smarter, Not Harder. Tap into your menstrual and moon cycle to optimize your productivity in business and life. So if anybody's interested in learning about your natural rhythms, if you have a period in relation to your cycle, if you don't have a period in relation to the moon, then please sign up. So I'll put the link in the show notes.
Oh, love that, Lisa. That sounds like a great event.
And I'm excited for your hypnobirthing. I think people can really benefit from that. So very cool that you're doing that too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So thanks everyone for joining us today. Again, you can find our show notes at our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. You can email us and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We would love for you to subscribe to the podcast. And especially if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. And then that allows other perimenopausal mamas to find us as well. So stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Have a great week. Take care.